And I have to tell you before I start that today I most likely will fulfill the stereotype that comes along when I preach and preach you a nice short sermon. Or at least that's my plan. You know, I might get interrupted in the middle here. But I have to start off by telling you that I hate this time of year. I hate this time of year. Can't stand it. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not because I hate the sight of leaves changing color. That's not it. It's pretty. And, you know, soon the leaves are going to fall, and it's not that either. Although, you know, that's part of the cycle of life, and I, you know, really admire God's brilliance for coming up with it. But with 2 70-foot-tall oak trees in my front yard, the leaves falling it is a slight source of annoyance for me sometimes. Unless the wind blows really hard, then it's the neighbor's problem. And it's also not because summer is over and the weather's getting cooler. See, I love the summer, but I secretly enjoy the fall too. See, as a beach bum, you always look forward to the day when all the shoobies leave. Shoobies are the people who come to the beach for the summer and wear shoes on the beach, and you can tell that you can tell they're not beach people because they wear shoes in the sand. Okay, now that's what you call them. And it's a great day when they go because then there's all these people who aren't in your way anymore. I actually, a guy that Paul and I used to hang out and go surfing with spray painted on the bottom of his surfboard, "Go home." I'm not to that point, but there are times when, you know, I see the line of traffic going off the island that I'll wave at them. Just because it's nice to have the beach to yourself. And it's also not because the weather's getting cooler. I like that a lot, too. I love being able to go for a run and not feel like the sun is tied to the back of my neck. It's even better if I go for a run and come back and the tip of my nose is cold. I love it when that happens. It's one of my favorite things about the fall. No, the reason why I hate this time of the year is because of turmoil. Okay, it seems to happen every October. Every October, there's all kinds of disturbance and turmoil, but it's especially bad when there's an election. And it's even worse when there's a presidential election. Because the whole nation seems angry at each other. You can say a simple statement, and it'll spark hurt feelings and arguments that last forever. Okay, what we learned about the senior pastor is that he watches a lot of TV. And if you're like him, you know that all you're going to see between your shows is campaign ad after campaign ad where one person comes on and slanders the other person, and then that person comes on and slanders the other person right back, sometimes saying the same things about each other. I hate this time of year because it seems like we are in constant turmoil. Stress levels go up. And, you know, just because of hearing all the disagreement, but our worry and our concern goes up even more, worrying about the wrong person getting elected. We worry that that other person will get elected, and we can't stand him or her. And we worry that the person that we like won't get elected. But before I go any further, I have to say that I tried to count this out the other day and I couldn't figure it out. I was trying to figure out how many times I've voted for president. This is actually the first presidential election where I'm voting where I'm old enough to run for president. It's interesting. But I did determine, I couldn't figure out how many times I voted for president. I voted every time I was able. But I did realize that I have never, ever once, not once, voted for a presidential candidate that I liked. Okay, and honestly, we really need to get past whether or not we like a candidate. Okay, first off, I think you can find many reasons to dislike all of the candidates this year. Okay, I'll lay it right on the line. If you like Hillary Clinton, I think you're crazy. And if you like Donald Trump, I think you're at least equally as crazy. Okay, the same goes for the rest of the candidates. See, unfortunately, I am not running for president. If I was, then everyone in the country could write me in and vote for someone that they like. I'm kidding, and don't write my name in. Okay? See, here's the thing, though. Even if you wrote my name in, if everybody in the country voted for me, there would still be people voting for someone they dislike. Because there are people who dislike me. I know it's hard to believe. But see, more importantly, electing a president is more important than who we like. Okay? This is not a high school class election where the most popular person should win. What we need to do is we need to look at what each candidate stands for and what their political party stands for, because they're not going to act alone, and vote based on which platform reflects the values that God would have us vote for. We need to put personality and likability aside and vote based on the issues and God's stance on the issues. But anyway, I hate this time of year because of all the division and turmoil and all the worry that surround us all this time of year. In the passage that Jeff just read, the disciples were actually facing a similar time of division, turmoil, and worry. Jesus was telling them all kinds of strange things and bad news. He said he was going away. Where? They wouldn't see him and they couldn't go with him. Why not? Why can't we just go with you, Jesus? Why can't you just stay here? Jesus was telling them all kinds of strange things, changes that would happen. They didn't understand it. And it seemed like Jesus thought that things were just going to get worse, get harder for them. The disciples were caught up in a whirlwind of doubt and disturbance, a lot like we are now. But fortunately for them, Jesus knew what was going on. And he gave them some help and some good news. And fortunately for us, the good news and the help that he gave them applies for us in our time of turmoil too. Okay, so let's look at the good news that Jesus gave the disciples. The first good news he gave them was he promised them that a counselor, an advocate, the Holy Spirit would come to help them. Now, the Holy Spirit that God would send would teach them all things, Jesus said. That's a lot of stuff. That he would lead them into truth and remind them of what Jesus taught and what Jesus said to them. So even though Jesus was going away, even though they wouldn't have Jesus around, the Holy Spirit was going to remind them of what he said and teach them the things he said. So in a way, it would be like they still had Jesus with them. The Holy Spirit would allow them to go on and do things after Jesus had been gone that they wouldn't have even dared try to do if he was still there with them. Read the book of Acts. The stuff that happens in the book of Acts, the apostles wouldn't even thought to do if Jesus was still there leading them. They would have watched him do it instead. So the Holy Spirit let them do greater things. And the Holy Spirit would teach them what they would need to know when they needed to know it. They just had to wait, sit back and wait for the Holy Spirit to tell them. So what does that mean for us? Well, as believers in Christ, we also have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does the same things for us that he did for the disciples. The Holy Spirit enables us to do things that we probably wouldn't even try to do on our own. The Holy Spirit empowers us and gives us the ability, the words that we need to do it. He allows us to do things that are beyond our ability. So if you're in a situation where you think you can't handle it, it is beyond your capacity to do, the Holy Spirit can help you. And the Holy Spirit teaches us all things so that we know what we need to know when we need to know it. By the way, this is the part that I don't really like, because I want to know what I need to know before I need to know it. That's not the promise. It's when we need to know it. So if you're facing a really tough decision, like who to vote for, if you ask and diligently seek him in prayer, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of what Jesus said and help you know what you need to know when you need to know it. But Jesus gave the disciples more good news in the turmoil. He said that he was leaving his peace with his disciples. Now, I'm sure they thought, Jesus, I don't feel really peaceful about this. But as Jesus pointed out to them, his peace is different from the normal type of peace that the world talks about. He was not promising them freedom or the cessation of war or life free from any kind of disturbance in, you know, quiet tranquility. That's not what he was promising them. The peace Jesus was living with them was the confidence that all is well because God is in charge and knows what he's doing. He wanted them not to be troubled because no matter how it looked, God was in charge. And they could rest confidently in his provision and his plan because he knows what he's doing. So what does that mean for us? Well, today, Jesus gives his followers peace in the same way. We can rest confidently knowing that God is in charge and God knows what he's doing. We can put aside our troubles, knowing that God is providing for us and that God is working out his plan despite what the circumstances may look like. So whatever the circumstance is in your life, maybe it's your job or your health or your kids or who's going to run the country, you can lay back and rest confidently in the knowledge that God is in control. And what we see happen is the unfolding of his plan. He's providing for you, and he knows what he's doing. So don't let your heart be troubled. And Jesus gives them one more good piece of good news. And he does it by repeating the bad news. He repeats the bad news to show them that God will bring good out of the bad news. He tells them he's going away, but he's telling them it before it happens, so that when they see it, it'll strengthen their faith. Although it's not good news that Jesus is going away right then, the fact that he knows about it before it happens lets them know that God has it all under control. That God knows what's coming, and it's all part of his plan. And because of that, they have no reason to worry, because God is in control. Jesus is going to be obedient to God, because God is in control. Jesus knows what's coming. And in doing so, in being obedient to God, he's going to show how God can bring good out of the bad news. Even though Jesus was crucified and went away, even death and Satan had no power over God. They cannot stop the plan of God. Nothing can. God is in control. So, what does this mean for us, finally? Well, I don't know what the situation you are facing is. But what I do know is that God does know. He knows it before it happens, and nothing can stop his plan. Nothing has power over God. And if we're obedient to him like Jesus was, we'll see God bring good out of what seemed to be bad. Even the turmoil that we're in right now. We will see God's plan triumph over anything Satan puts in its way. We'll see the power of God. So, when it comes to the issue I started the sermon with, the election, I can't tell you who's going to win. Okay? If you ask God, God will use the Holy Spirit to help you know how to vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. Okay, if you can ask me later, and I'll tell you how I'm going to vote, and I can tell you why, but I'm not going to tell you how. Okay, but what we need to know is that God's going to give us peace, and the peace comes from knowing that God is in control of the outcome. Even God knows who's going to win. I don't. So I can't really do what Jesus did and, you know, tell you about it before it happens. Okay, I can give you a small measure of it. See, God's got it under his control. So don't let your hearts be troubled. And as far as a prediction, I can give you a little before it happens here. I can tell you for sure, before it happens, that unless there is a landslide of write-in votes, the person who's going to win the presidential election will probably be someone you don't like.